We'd like to welcome you to our monthly Mission One podcast. My name is Jim Pratt. I'm Director of Engagement and Mission One Coordinator for General Baptist Ministries. Each month, we try to share with you opportunities to become involved missionally, not only stateside, but globally. Last month, we changed it up a little bit, and we talked about the importance of leaving a missional legacy. Without a legacy, we don't have people that are willing to say yes. And so we want to kind of continue on with that theme this month. We want to talk about what it looks like to raise missional kids. And I recruited one of the experts, world-renowned Jeff Roth, and Jeff's daughter Addie is with us. You guys say hi to everybody listening in.
Hey.
Hi, everybody listening in.
There you go. I wish this was on video. You would see that Jeff's hair, it looks perfect. Addie's part's perfect. So all is well with the world. I'm also privileged to have someone joining us that I've known all of her life. My lovely daughter, my favorite daughter, Katie. So Katie, say hi to everyone.
Hi.
Those of you that don't know, an added benefit is Jeff and Katie both are only children, I think. Is that right, Jeff?
No, that's correct.
So, yep. So even if you're raising an only child that's spoiled, that, you know, they have multiple personalities, that kind of thing, it is possible for them to do great things. So anyway, let's move on before I get myself in more trouble. So Jeff, tell everyone listening in about Jeff Roth. How long you've been married? What's your wife's name? How many kids do you have? Who's your favorite kid? And that kind of thing.
Okay. Well, some of those are easy questions. So my wife and I, Alicia, we met at Oakland City University. We got married in 2006. In 2008, we welcomed our first child into the world. That's Addie sitting with me here today. And we have since had three other kids. So we have four total. We've got Addie, who's 15, Boyd, who's 10, Judah just turned 6, and Ellie will be 4 in June. And so four kids, 17 years of marriage. And yeah, that's us in a nutshell. I'm gonna plead the fifth on the favorite child.
On the favorite child, okay.
I love them all the same, Jim.
Oh, that's good. That's precious. That's precious. And Jeff, currently where's your missional assignment, your ministry assignment right now?
Yeah, so my family and I have been in O'Fallon, Illinois at Skyline Church for 3.5 years now, and really loving it, loving the ministry here, the community we get to serve, the people we get to do life with at church. So feel really excited about this season of our life.
So Addie, your dad has said he's maybe your favorite. You're 15 years old. So what year are you in school, and what school do you go to?
I go to Triad High School.
Home of the Knights, isn't that right?
Yep.
Okay.
And I'm a freshman.
Freshman. And yep. So after high school, what is Addie Roth planning on doing?
So I really want to do something in the medical field, and I'm really looking into nursing right now.
Okay. And then at the summit last year, I think part of that future also will be involved missionally. Is that right? What's that? Yes. What are you thinking right now?
Right now, my goal is to get to become a nurse and then be able to go in the mission field and get to do some medical stuff here, there, and everywhere.
Okay. Now we'll hear from my favorite daughter, Katie. Tell us about Katie Benefield. Are you married and do you have any children?
I am married. I also met my spouse at OCU.
Oh,
fun
that's
fact.
Special. Yes.
In July, it'll be 10 years.
I think just married. For everyone listening in, something that that Katie and Alicia have in common is their spouses chased them down at Oakland City. I know that Addie, I witnessed your father chasing your mother around until she finally stopped. And I think same thing happened with Katie and Jess. But anyway, back to our podcast. Katie, how long you been married?
It'll be 10 years in July.
And tell us about the three coolest boys in the world.
So I have Hudson. He will be 7 in June. Parker will be 5 in June. And Jackson will be 2 in June.
So they'll be 7, 5, and 2 in June. And Katie, your birthday's when?
June.
And Justin's birthday's when?
Also June.
Also June. So it makes it real easy. So Katie and Jeff, both only children, but you decided you wanted to make sure and have multiple children in your family. Was that part of the goal, or what do you think, Jeff? Was that
Yeah, so obviously Katie and I's parents got it right the first time, you know.
Exactly, yes.
Okay, well, there's that. Ouch.
I don't know what that says about Addie here.
Yeah, there's that. But Jeff, how long have you been in ministry?
So I received or accepted my call into ministry when I was 17. And then I've been in like a vocational ministry of some sort, since my junior year of college. So I would have been 20. So I'm 41 now. So 21 years I've been in some sort of vocational ministry.
Mostly, pastoring, but also, some involvement with, a national missions, a church plant. Is that right?
Yeah. So early on, I worked at a church for a while, and then my wife and I went to Florida to help plant a church. And then after that, we actually partnered with General Baptist National Missions and then also International Missions while we worked there in Poplar Bluff for a little bit, working with engaging churches and in ministry and mission. So
Addie was born in Florida, Poplar Bluff, wherever.
Yeah, she was born in Florida. She's a Florida girl.
Tampa, Florida.
Tampa, Florida.
Yep. Okay. Safety Harbor. She was born and not really raised there. So
there you go. So Jeff, tell us a little bit about, were you raised in a Christian home? How old were you when you went on your first mission trip?
Yeah, so I grew up in a Christian home. My mom and dad were always very active in church. And so they took me to church a lot, all the time. And then my freshman year of high school, my parents said, instead of a vacation this year, we're going to go to Honduras on a mission trip. And so that was my first trip, and we loved it. And this was Faith Home. It was before the orphanage when we were still building all the homes for the orphanage and the team house and all that. And so we went on vacation to Honduras my freshman, sophomore, junior, senior year, 4 years straight there and through high school and just loved it. And I think that really probably started the development of my heart for missions, being able to go there with my mom and dad and other men and women who some I didn't know very well, some right. I knew pretty good, but I knew them all pretty well after we left. It was a really great experience for me.
So what was it like to go with your mom and dad on this mission trip rather than just go by yourself with a group of people?
Yeah, I loved it. I mean, I thought it was really cool because it was a experience we got to share together. Something that we got, especially for us. And I mean, I was the only child, so our whole family went. And so I think it was, we were able to share that experience, not just while we were there, but when we got home, it was kind of like we had that same perspective shift that happens a lot of times when you go to a third world country from the United States. You just recognize that maybe everything that you have been accustomed to in life isn't necessarily given to everybody. And so when you get to see people live a different way, it really impacts you. And so we got to share that experience back home together, which was cool.
Yeah. So you would say with your mom and dad, it wasn't do as I say, not as I do. Not only did they say that you should follow Christ, they led by example. Is that a good statement there?
100%. Yeah. My dad was, I mean, he was my mom and dad did the youth ministry, and my dad ended up planting a church, and they are the ones that introduced me to, you know, going on trips with them. And always encouraged me. My mom and dad always told me, you know, you got to go where the Lord's calling you. If that's foreign missions, national missions, across the street, wherever it is, you got to listen to the Lord. That's the only way you're going to be in the center of His will, be at peace with what you what God's called and created you to do. So that's what we try to do with our kids. And I know it's hard because you love them and you don't really ever. I didn't understand this until my kids started getting older, and I realized, you know, she's only 3 years away from being able to leave my house. And it's like, I don't want her to leave. But more than anything, I want her to do what God's called her to do.
As she gets older in those teenage years, you'll be glad when she leaves. I'm just kidding, Katie. So let's move to Katie now. Katie, this is really putting you and me both on the spot. What did you learn about being missional by your mom and me?
I think I learned so much. Just always th- think about other people. You don't know what they're going through, and just kind of give them the benefit of the doubt and just always be God to them. Be like God to them.
So you learned that from us. Well, yeah. I'm touched, yeah. Right? It's not even Father's Day. And transition now, you're raising three boys. Interesting ages right now, 6, 4, yes. and 1, going to be 7, 5, and 2. And so for people raising, and Jeff, I'm going to ask you this in a minute too, for people raising young kids, how do you, I mean, is it not just endurance? I mean, how do you teach them to be missional at that age?
I think we try to be intentional with like certain times we talk about certain things. So like before Easter, that's the day before Easter, we took our two oldest up to the church, and Justin, my husband, explained what we were doing, and we were serving our church by cleaning, getting it ready for maybe guests, people who have never been to church, have never learned about God, and just trying to teach them how to be missional and why we do it.
Okay. And then Parker is how old?
He is 4, almost 5.
And two new families started coming to the church. Why?
He is all about inviting everybody at his school. He'll invite his teachers, awesome. His little buddies, and it's great. I love it.
All right, good. And awesome. They're pretty cool dudes, too. So, now, Addie, when did you go on your first global mission trip?
My first mission trip was 2019-2020. We went over New Year's, and it was to India. And I went with my dad and a group from our church, and it was absolutely amazing.
And Addie, how old were you?
I would have just turned 10.
11.
I just turned 11?
Uh-huh.
I would have just turned 11 that month.
Whoa.
That will be important nice. Here in a second, because Katie's envious. So go ahead, Addie. What was it like? Describe what it was like to go to India. And for those of you listening, it's a tough trip. It's a long flights. It's you have to be very careful how vocal you are with your Christianity, I guess you say. So Addie, just describe what that experience was like.
So I don't feel like there's any way to really put it into words how like amazing it was. Like there's no way to get you to truly understand how life-changing it is unless you go. But I think it definitely changed my perspective on everything, which I think just about any mission trip can. But it was just really crazy to see how generous people were with how little they had, mm-hmm. and just seeing how everyone lived, and like they were some of the happiest people I had ever met. And like it absolutely just brightens your day being able to see them and how happy they are. Like they just have this energy, and it's just like, wow, like it's really like I envy them so much. Like it's insane how like amazing everyone is there. Like every single person I met was amazingly nice. Like it's just absolutely
really thankful too.
Yes. Very thankful. And like, I went there to like serve them, and then they're serving us. And I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, I don't feel like I should be treated like this. Like I'm not any different than you are. Like we're both people, like, and they just treat you so much differently. Like it's insane how much they appreciate you being there for just being there.
Right. So Addie, what was it like to experience that with your dad? Let me ask this. Are you a daddy's girl?
I'm definitely, yes.
Okay. All right. I mean, Katie's a daddy's girl. She would admit it. So, but what was it like to experience that trip with your dad?
I think it was really awesome. We definitely, like, I felt like it definitely brought us a lot closer, and like to share that experience and to be able to talk about it all the time and to like not have to explain everything for him to just understand it. And like to have someone to talk to and process everything, mm-hmm. like every day you just process every moment of the day. And right. like sometimes it can be really hard to process it alone.
Right.
Especially after all that you see, it's like, it's crazy. And to explain it to someone that's never been is a lot different than someone that's like there with you.
Right.
So I loved having my dad with me. I thought it was awesome. I really, really enjoyed him being there. Like, I wouldn't have it any other way. So for my first mission trip, it was really awesome to get to go with him.
So Jeff, what was it like to experience that with your daughter?
Yeah, so I could echo a lot of what she has to say. I think that, you know, for me, like having been to India with my daughter Addie, and then having been to, like, I just this last year, I got to take my son with me to visit some Hispanic churches in California. Like, for me, like, I don't know. I think it's been so great to have those adventures with my kids to help them to see different ways of life, people who live differently, grew up differently, think differently, worship differently, all of this, everything, to really open their eyes up, and then to share it with them. It gives us those opportunities to have questions, not just memories, but like questions that we get to wrestle with together, and things we can point back to and say, remember when, continues to build that relationship. So been awesome for us. I'd recommend that. That'd be like, I wouldn't say I'm a professional parent or anything like that. Like,
you're pretty good.
I do my best, but like, we have a lot to learn, but like, that's one thing that we've done. Like, I wouldn't tell people how to parent, but one thing that we've done that I have not regretted at all has been taking our kids on mission trips. Alicia got to go with Addie to Honduras just this past year. And so, like, giving them that opportunity to develop that, those memories, those adventures together, like, I highly recommend that.
Mm-hmm. And Addie, I want to ask you which parent you had a better time with on a mission trip. Okay. We won't talk about that.
It's obvious. It was me.
Yeah, so
I don't think there's even a comparison in between those mission trips. Like, they were both incredibly different that, like, I don't think there's any way to compare them.
Yes. Other than you were with Jim Pratt on both trips.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was the highlight, I'm sure. So the reason why I ask you how old you were, Katie, how old were you when you went on your first trip?
When I actually went on my first trip, I was 15.
15. And when did you want to go on your first trip?
When I was 13.
And Katie, why were you not able to go on your first trip?
Because I couldn't go without a parent, and because my dad had prior commitments.
That I couldn't get out of.
And they were canceled.
And they were canceled. And so it was actually summer spree at Oakland City. And so... So, Katie, you're just finished your freshman year, and you went where on your first mission trip?
Honduras.
Honduras. Describe what that was like.
So, one of my best friends had went 2 years prior, and she kind of told me a little bit about Faith Home and what it was like. But I'm kind of with Addie on this, where you can't really explain it until you're there. And just being there and at the age of 15, when you think you know everything and your life's so rough, and you see babies that have to share a crib and people living in stick huts and all of that, it really puts things in perspective, and it changed my life.
And I noticed, I remember one of the experiences we had is Katie coming up to us after 2 or 3 days, I think, and coming up to us crying. I think, why are you crying? You said, I'm sorry for not being more appreciative of what we have. I don't know if you remember this, but you said, I promise that I'm never going to say I'm starving again. And if I do, to call me on it. And so it was a neat experience for us. Somewhat humorous now. Initially, it was just going to be Katie and me going on the trip. And Chris said, I'm not going on the trip. And then right before the deadline, she said, I'm going to go too. And I tried to make it a real spiritual moment. I said, oh, so you feel like God's calling you to go? And she said, no, if the plane goes down with you and Katie, I want to be on it too. So that's why she went. That's why she went on her first trip, and it was out of her comfort zone. But it was. No. And Jeff, echoing what you said, I've shared with people before. You can save yourself a lot of energy, maybe even some prescription drugs for dealing with your kids, whatever. And a lot of nagging, if you would just allow them to experience life through a mission trip. And Katie, after that. It was 2 years, went back, and then went every year for a while.
Yes.
And then at one point, you did an 8-week internship. What was that like?
It was, 2013.
How old were you? You were in college?
I was in college, getting ready to start my senior year.
Okay. And what was that 8-week internship like?
It was amazing. It was really neat. Each week we did something different. So the first week we were with a team from OCU, and then the second week was a medical mission trip, which I had never experienced that. So that was really neat, just going into villages and giving them Tylenol and how happy they were just to get Tylenol and things like that we take for granted. And one week I got to learn how they made tortillas, and just hanging out with the house moms was awesome. My little Spanish I know, and their little English they know, but kind of talking to them and hearing their stories.
So, Addie, I know your trip to Honduras was a medical mission trip. Mm-hmm. You'd probably echo what Katie said. A wide variety of needs, aren't there?
It was insane to me because, like, when I went to India, we did a little bit of medical stuff, but we went to more villages, so I could see, like, more of, like, the way people lived. But in Honduras, they kind of, like, they came to us with their needs. So it was, like, it definitely put into, like, medical care perspective for me. And, like, it definitely made me want to go into the medical field so much more after seeing, like, how much I can help people by, like, just a little bit. And just, like, the needs, they just were so, so, so thankful to just get the little things that we had given them that, like, they haven't seen before or they needed, like, getting their blood pressure taken. Like, a lot of them had never had that done, and they didn't know how. So, like, explaining the little things that they had never experienced before and just being like, wow, like, they really haven't. And, like, so many people that have never even been to, like, the doctor there, like, it's just insane to see all of that, like, put into perspective. How, like, it's definitely something we take advantage of here, for sure.
So, Addie, you said you're at the ripe old age of 15 now, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you've had 15 years of watching Jeff and Alicia Roth try to parent you. What have you learned about being missional, being a dedicated Christian? What have you learned by looking at your parents?
I think definitely, like, examples. Like, I definitely grew up, I feel like, serving the church here and there. Like, I feel like we definitely, it's not just your pastor, it's the whole family. Mm-hmm. Like, it's definitely a family thing. Like, I remember, like, being little, like, helping clean up the church. I remember folding bulletins, like, all of, like, the little things that needed done. Like, you just did it. Like, that's just part of, you know, being a Christian, part of being, like, a pastor's family. Like, whatever the church needs, you're there to help. So I definitely think they lead with example, for sure. Because, like, I just remember, like, looking and be like, why are you doing that? Like, I didn't think that was, like, what you were supposed to do. Like, I didn't know that was part of the job. Like, it's not, but it's just whenever you see needs in the church, you kind of just take care of them. And I think after seeing them, then it leads me to help more anywhere I can and serve.
And being involved in ministry is not always perfect, is it? There's no perfect church, those kind of things. And so you've had to watch your parents navigate some of those times too, haven't you?
Yeah. I feel like definitely the things that, like, I've experienced have helped me in my life more, seeing how they deal with the tough situations. Like, I may not know every detail of every situation, but seeing how they deal with things, like, the right way, and, like, it definitely can be stressful, but the things that they, like, go through just to make what seems like a simple decision can definitely take, like, a large toll. And to see them really, like, take the time to think about it and talk to God about it and pray about it and read about it, just to see how they really should make those decisions and stuff.
And I know, because I've known your mom and dad since their college years. I think, Jeff, you had the privilege of having me in a class even, I think, right? It was your most favorite class.
Yes, Professor Pratt. Yes, I did.
And so, but what I've watched you guys, and Jeff, this doesn't, is this part of your upbringing, you see value in everyone, and it comes out. It doesn't matter their background, maybe even lifestyle. Where does that come from, Jeff? I mean, it's biblical, but where did you learn that from?
No, yeah, it starts there in the Bible. But I think growing up, yeah, I grew up in Flint, Michigan. It was a pretty diverse town. I was in the minority, and so you know, I just always grew up with, you know, people from different lifestyles, different socioeconomic backgrounds, different races. And so was always, I'm thankful for it, always was part of my life. And so I think that just developed that appreciation within me for people who look different, talk different, think different.
Right.
And the ability to, you know, kind of talk to them and still conversate with them and find common ground together and those types of things.
Because I think mean, missional is a big word, but being missional is really a lifestyle. It's loving God. It's loving others. It's not going on a mission trip doesn't make you missional. Right. It's a part of who you are, and it shapes you. I want to transition it to Katie, but just to kind of set it up, Jeff, you said that, you know, 3 years from now, Addie graduates high school, and who knows what things will look like. Is that right? Is that basically what you said?
Hopefully she's, we'll go to school nearby and stay close to dad a little longer. But
Katie graduated from high school, from Wood Memorial High School, home of the Trojans. By the way, played against teams from Heritage Hills. Those of you that from Southern Indiana know that
they were rough.
The LaGrange girls. That's Alicia Addie's mom's maiden name. They were very good volleyball players, and so Katie learned how to lose with grace. But she went to Oakland City. We lived two blocks from the campus, so she commuted, but she was basically there, and so she was close by for 4 years. But in 2014, May 5th, Katie, what happened? May 5th?
I graduated college.
And then July 5th of the same year?
We got married, also on campus.
On campus. And then 3 weeks later, what happened?
We got on an airplane reluctantly and flew to Saipan.
Flew to Saipan to teach for 6 months. And so I remember whenever Katie was born, we dedicate her to the Lord. And Jeff, you'll think back, you know, you dedicate your children to the Lord and you say, God, whatever you want for them, this is what we want.
Yeah.
And so when you raise missional kids, then and if we mean what we say, then we're saying, God, I mean, whatever you want. It's the most difficult day of our life to have her get on a plane to go to the other side of the world. But if we were serious about her being on mission, then we had to release her. And so 6 months later, transitioned back to the States. Now they live 5 minutes from us, but to raise, and I think our responsibility, and Katie, you've heard me say this probably 1,000 times, I think our responsibility as parents to raise our children totally independent of us.
And dependent of God.
And dependent on God, okay. But I think that's important. So Jeff, with not only with Addie, but Boyd's how old now?
He's 10.
10. And so 10-year-old to California, those of you listening, if you've been to see some of our Hispanic ministry in California, it's definitely a multicultural area. And so what was it like for a 10-year-old to experience a different culture?
Yeah, I mean, like he was, I think, just excited to get on a plane. And then when he got to experience all that we experienced out there, I think he was really had his eyes opened up. It was fantastic for him because he got to have conversations via Google Translate, you know, with some other kids his age.
My friend, yes.
That, you know, otherwise they couldn't have communicated, but through the wonder of technology, we're able to build friendship and relationship while we were there. I think California is such a unique ministry down there in Southern California because it's like in the United States, but it's definitely very much kind of a diverse global mission field. And so it's kind of like a little bit of foreign or national and international missions, which is really cool. So it was a good first trip for him to get introduced a little bit to missions that doesn't look like what we do here at home.
Jeff, let me ask this and put you on the spot. What's your goal for your 4 children?
The most important thing, I mean, I always tell people at church, like if I raise my kids up and they lose at everything in life, but they know Jesus, then I did my job. So I hope that they, you know, do more than just know Jesus. But if all they do is grow up to love Jesus with their whole heart and I want the world, I pray this prayer over them, Jim. I say every night, I say, God, I pray that Addie grows up to love you with her whole heart. And I pray that the world knows it by the way she talks and the things she does. And that's what I want. That's what Alicia and I want for our kids is for them to know Jesus, love Jesus, serve Jesus. That's the most important thing. Everything else is icing on the cake.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Addie's a Christian, so we're doing good so far.
Good so far. That's right. So Addie, describe what it's like to be missional at school. I mean, you're at a public school. so what is that like? Or Or do you just compartmentalize and you don't have to worry about being missional there? No, of course, you got to be missional everywhere, right? So how are you missional at school too?
So I definitely try and lead by example. Like, I get labeled different, like a lot. And like, I'm okay with that because I know if I get called different, then I'm doing my job. Like, I'm not supposed to be the same, but it's definitely interesting because people will be like, well, like you're a good Christian and everything, but like, you don't judge me. I'm like, well, like, yeah, like I can still like be friends with you. Like Jesus ate with the sinners, you know, I'm a sinner too. Like, so I definitely like, I try and stand out as much as I can. And then anytime I can share the gospel or share my point of view, I do. And I definitely try not to be judgmental. Like, I definitely don't want to scare anyone off, which can be hard sometimes. Like, I just try and keep to myself a little bit on certain things, but to just be kind to everyone so that they can tell someone's like something's different about you if you just are friends with everyone. And I've definitely been asked, like, how are you so patient? Like, how, like, why is this different about you? And then it gives me an example, like, or a way to show them, like, oh, I'm a Christian. Like, it's all Jesus. This is not me. Like,
right.
This is all God right here.
So would you say you've had two pretty good models called your mom and dad that have helped you live that way?
Definitely. Yeah.
Katie, how do you, like, Justin's a pastor, so the pastoral family.
Shout out to New Home.
Very good. And so what's your goal for Hudson, Parker, and Jackson?
I mean, I think what Jeff said, you know, at the end of the day, as long as they're following God and seeking his guidance and following him, that's really all that matters. Right now, I want Parker to keep doing what he's doing and inviting all of his buddies and even the little kids that are bullies, as he says, he still invites them to church and he was telling everybody about our Easter egg hunt. And I just want them to, I guess, just talk to everybody about God. Like Addie said, she does, you know, don't stand out, don't blend in and tell everybody why you're different.
So you went to public school, not everybody there Christian. How did you stay missional?
I think just sharing my point of view, talking about the events we would go to, like National Youth Conference. And just, I remember one year, me and my friend Randa invited and so many people to National Youth Conference. And some of them just went because it was a fun trip, but then others went and kind of dove into who is God and do I believe in him and, you know, all those things.
Of course, you know, there's a guy by the name of Jeff Roth for many, many years headed up the National Youth Conference. Is that right?
What was, random question. Randa's last name?
Sermersheim.
Okay, different Randa. When I was pastoring in Francisco, I had a Randa in my youth group and it was by Open Nice. Services.
That's funny.
Anyway, sorry.
That's right. So, Jeff, let me ask it this way. How has the church not gotten it completely right as far as how we've tried to help parents in their parenting?
Well, I mean, I think probably the first thing that comes to my mind is that we haven't tried to help them in their parenting. Yeah. I mean, we've kind of been silent about it, or we haven't tried to coach or give God the examples. And I think I understand a lot of it is, you know, just from my own perspective, like, I mean, like, I know I make mistakes and I'm not doing it right. Like, who am I to tell anybody else? And so that's why, like, a lot of what I say is, you know, descriptive and not prescriptive. Like, right. This is what we have done, but I'm not saying that's the way to do it. As far as prescription goes, you know, we just go to scripture and try to point to that. And that's a big thing we're trying to emphasize in our own church right now is the emphasis on family. We want to strengthen families. We want to disciple children. We want to empower the parents to, you know, put this missional mindset into their kids, and put a focus on Christ above all other things. But it's not easy, man. Like, you ask Katie and I, like, what our goal is with our kids. And like, honestly, most days it's like, survive, you know, yes. like
Oh yeah.
just get them to bed. Okay, would yes. be fantastic.
For Katie Jackson potty training would be real great. Good too.
So. Yeah, right. Like so, like there's small goals, and then there, of course there's big goals. But Jim, I think the church can definitely do a better job, and I think we have to. It's our job to figure out what we can do, and I think exposing them to different perspectives is helpful. But I think as far as like training up parents, I have to open up conversations, develop relationships, give resources. I think those are the good places to start: relationships, resources, and conversations.
Yeah. Almost 3 points and all you need is a poem.
I'm going to go write a message on that right now.
I think that's right. So Addie, let me ask you this. What I get very frustrated with seasoned adults, and Jeff will remember when I taught at Oakland City, I would say, you don't call people old people, as seasoned adults. But I get frustrated by seasoned adults who say, those young kids, they don't do this, they don't do that. What's the biggest thing your generation needs from, we'll just say, older generations?
That's a hard question. I feel like I want to go with like acceptance, mm-hmm. but like, I know not everything is like socially accepted and not everything is like, you know, okay. But I feel like honestly, just like not being as judged, like we grew up differently than you. We're not going to be the same as you.
Right.
Like we shouldn't be like, I don't want to say, cause I don't personally like struggle with like being like, oh, this generation, but there's definitely some people that like, I can be like, ooh, I can see that a little, but I just feel like sometimes people act out a little more because it's not going to hurt. They don't have to worry about like not being judged. Like they're always being judged. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't really know how to put it into words cause it's a really tough topic, but
how could the older generation best encourage you? Can you think of any way that like an older generation could encourage you or help you?
I feel like getting us involved in serving.
Yeah.
Like I feel like the best thing that has helped me when I was little was definitely just serving. Like from when I was little, just serving here, serving there. Like sometimes, you know, it can be like, well, I don't want to make my kid do that. Well, like I get to do those things. Mm-hmm. Like I know at churches we would do food drives, we would do all of this, and I loved helping. Like I just loved being able to serve people. What can I do here? What can I do there? And I feel like just being involved is like really, really important. So I feel like definitely being like invited and getting involved with things from the older generation and being able to help the older generation and the older generation being able to help you and minister to you. I feel like definitely being involved in building those relationships.
I think like of people like at our last church, like there's a lady named Judy Gregory, mm-hmm. and like she was always involved in everything. Like she was just a super awesome servant of the Lord. And like I was like, I want my kids to spend time around other people besides my wife and I, mm-hmm. serving the Lord. And like, I think that like the older generation, one of the best things they can do is serve alongside students. Right. And like that, like I want Addie to spend time with her because I want her to see her heart for the Lord and see how hard she works and those types of things. And so I think bringing them together, giving them opportunities to serve together, not just separate, is a good way to go that route.
Most definitely. I definitely agree with that because like I can remember at like multiple churches being able to like serve with people that were older than me. It definitely made me like, I definitely felt like a big kid being able to like help out, like even on a mission trip, like I was the youngest one there, but like being able to be with those people that are older and relate to them and talk to them, mm-hmm. like it definitely helps build like those relationships, mm-hmm. and like to see like how hard people are working and serving and be like, I want to be like that person. I want to work towards that. How can I be more like that?
Yeah. Katie, what would you say?
I think just encouragement and support on both ends.
Yeah.
For example, I have 3 young boys who are pretty rowdy at times, most of the time. And they think of our church as a second home. So, you know, that means they're going to run down the hall and sometimes they shouldn't. And I'll get on to them. We have some ladies at our church and, they say, you let those boys run, and they'll pull me aside and say, Katie, you're doing a good job. You know, I'm praying for you. And keep doing what you're doing, and just like encouragement like that. And our church has kind of built that culture, I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's always, we're always growing and working on it, but that the older people are coming to our younger people, and even older Christians coming to baby Christians, right, and kind of doing discipleship things with them and teaching them how to read the Bible, things like that.
And I think, and again, all of this connects to being missional. I think one of the things that going on the global mission trip, it gets you out of your comfort zone.
Definitely.
We're more quick to be dependent on God because we have no clue what we're doing, where we're going. Do you guys remember when we went to India? It's like, how hot is this going to be? I have to remember not to wipe my eyes because I eat with my hand, those kind of things. But Addie, who, other than your mom and dad, who would be one of your heroes in the faith? Living, not Bible, but living.
I feel like, I definitely feel like my Nana.
Okay.
She definitely is always serving others. That's for sure. And she kind of looks past everything, and she kind of sees you for you, even with like other people, she sees you for who you are. And like, I envy that for sure. Like, she doesn't care who you are, what you come from, what you do. She's going to treat you like her kid. She's going to love you. She's going to serve you. Whatever you need, she's going to find a way to get it to you. And I feel like she's always, always, always working her butt off to help and to do something and to serve someone. Like, she's very open-armed, open-minded, open-hearted for sure.
Yeah. Jeff, who would you say?
Living, you said?
Yes.
So, yeah. So I'd shout out my mom, her Nana, as definitely one of those. Jim, I wish you would have prepped me for that question. Let me think 1 second. So there's some people that that I've got to serve. Here, I'll give you one. This is for one of the first couple of people that come to my mind. Number one is Jesse and Brittany Vimula, yes, over in India. Love what they're doing. I feel like he works incredibly hard.
Yes.
Like, I feel bad. Like, I'll tell you another one too. Rene Rodriguez.
Yes.
In California. Like, I feel like both of them dudes, between the church that they pastor, the Bible schools that they run and operate, the pastors that are under their purview that they're training and equipping, plus all the extracurricular ministries that they're involved in. Like, I feel like they each have like 3 or 4 full-time jobs.
Yes.
And I feel like super guilty just as like typical Midwest American pastor here, sometimes feeling overwhelmed with my kind of 1 or 2 little jobs that I have. So those are a couple guys. Yeah. And then if I could throw in one bonus one, it would be, Solomon from India. His story, man, is amazing. Like, and I've told this before, but like when we were over there, I got to speak on, at the pastor's conference. And one of the things that Jesse asked me to preach about was, you know, staying persistent through persecution. And then I heard this story about Solomon, who I was preaching to, mind you.
Yes.
And his church had been, you know, torn down, burned down 7 times, and he kept rebuilding it.
Right.
And it's like, man, like, what do I know about persecution? Like, I know nothing compared to this guy. Like, he's the hero. He's the one that should be teaching. So he's a hero of mine, too.
Yep. Katie?
Not family.
Not family, yeah. Not mom or dad. I mean, I know it would be me, but...
Not mom or dad. So I think of Pastor Miguel in Honduras, or my Honduran father, is what he says. Just listening to him and hearing his heart and watching him serve helps me serve better. Mm-hmm. Helps me think about the little things. And then I'll throw in someone who's no longer living, grandma. Just she always supported me and always was excited to hear about my next mission trip and look at the pictures and all that.
Yeah.
And I always knew she was praying.
Yes, I always prayed. And I think it does connect with again, what we even talked about last month, this whole missional legacy piece. But I think that we get so distracted by success, whatever that is. I mean, my goal, it should not be that Katie one day will and Justin will take care of Chris and me. Although they did say that Chris can move in with them. They're going to put me in a home one day. But anyway.
No, I draw the line at diapers.
So anyway, so Todd, I don't know if you want to keep that. No. But again, and Jeff, you said it. She's serving God.
Yeah.
And Justin serving God. We had the chance to take Hudson and Parker to the Arch and then to eat at the Spaghetti Factory. And we were outside the Arch and there was a homeless guy with everything he owned in a suitcase. And Parker at the ripe old age of 4 and Hudson at the ripe age of 6 is like, Paul, who is that guy? I said, well, is that just part of what? I said, no, that's all he owns. They said, well, we need to pray for him. So we stopped right there and prayed for him. It's like that, you know, Katie and Justin doing something right there. They do a better job having a home atmosphere than we had. I mean, there's all this praise and worship music all the time, and that's what they're singing and those kind of things. And I think, man, that's what makes me the most encouraged. And I'm encouraged when Addie, I don't mean this, when I see people like Addie that are in high school. I mean, I know what my freshman year of high school, my goal was to get out of high school. That was the goal. I mean, I was active in church or whatever, but I had my own goals in mind. And so to meet a 15-year-old that says, this is what I want to do, but it's because of God. And Jeff, she's seen that modeled by you and your wife. And, it's not that she can't do anything else. I mean, she's got the volleyball gene. She's very good at volleyball. It's not like, well, I can't do anything else, so I guess I'll be a Christian. I mean, I heard of a person that her son was accepting his calling to ministry, and she said, oh, don't do that. You're too good of a student. There's other things you could do. You know, if you can't do anything else, then be in ministry. And you know, Katie and Justin serving in the church and missionally that way. If she ever stops having kids, we'll go back to Honduras. You're good now. Okay. So, but I look forward to, what's Hudson say he wants to do?
He wants to go with Paul.
Go, you know, go on with mission, Paul, you know, on the trip. You know, and so,
awesome.
And those are the neat things. And Jeff, and I know, you know, with your, boys going on this trip, I think you probably have a go, all your kids going on a mission trip. What's the biggest benefit of taking your kid on a mission trip? I mean, there's expense involved, there's a hassle, there's flying, there's all this kind of stuff. There's passport, all this stuff. So what, I mean, is it really worth it?
Yeah, like I don't want to take for granted that not everybody has that opportunity. And we don't have the money, but we've been able to fundraise and raise support for that. So I don't want to take it for granted that, you know, it's just as easy as saying, hey, let's go and being able to go. But the benefit is tremendous. The benefit is relational capital. You get to build with your kid. You get to open up their eyes and mind and heart to things that they wouldn't see otherwise. You have a shared experience that you can keep for the rest of your life, that you'll be able to talk about the rest of your life. You have a moment in time where you're able to escape the normalcy of American life.
All the distractions.
And I feel like, you know, while you're in a different place in the world, you feel like you're in a different world. Like you get to escape a little bit, and I think you think a little bit more clearer. And a lot of places, I mean, that I've been, and I've been able to go, you know, a few different ones. It's simpler, and I think there's a lot of beauty in that. I think we've complicated life quite a bit here, and we've got a lot of things that we've just feel like we have to have in our life, and it's kind of hamstringing us from being able to do what God's called us to do. So it's a great opportunity. If you have the opportunity, I think that parents should take it. But I think even if you can't go overseas with your kid, you can do something with your kid.
Right.
you can go to inner city, you can go to St. Louis, you can mm-hmm. go to Nashville or wherever. You can find needs in places mm-hmm. that you can serve and open your kids' minds to. That's one of the beautiful things here. We have, East St. Louis is 15 minutes from us, and you can go down to places at East St. Louis and, you can see, it's a different world. You know what I mean? There's people there that are living a different lifestyle than what we're used to. And it's only 15 minutes away.
Right. Yeah. And I think for us even here, Poplar Bluff, there's a wide range of needs even close by here. So Katie, why should parents, take their kid on a mission trip? Again, like Jeff said, it doesn't have to be globally, but why? What's the biggest, it's a lot of hassle. Is it really worth it?
Obviously, the churchy answers for Jesus, for them to maybe grow their relationship with Christ. But I also think it deepened and grew our relationship and like they had said earlier, we have things to talk about that we wouldn't have otherwise, and seeing little babies that, don't have a mom or a dad, and me talking to you guys. And I think that just deepening your relationship with God and with your children.
And I think, it's some of it's gets kind of heavy. I remember when we went to the government orphanage, and there's 25 babies and two to a bed, most of them. And I remember, Katie, you talking about it wasn't being fair because you prayed for a brother or sister and couldn't have any of that, and it just wasn't fair. And so we had to have that discussion. But life is difficult. But I think whenever, Maddie, you talked about when you see the people in India that are just so thankful for everything. And so when we get our eyes off of ourselves, then we really see there's a world full of people who, this is the church answer, but they need Jesus. And Jesus made it pretty simple. Love God, love others, wherever you're at. And part of that is missionally. And so for those of you listening, if you would like more information about going on a mission trip, email me at jim.pratt@generalbaptist.com. But Jeff, Addie, is there anything else you'd want to add before we end?
I don't think so. I really appreciate you guys having us on. Sure. And Jim, I thank you for kind of setting an example for younger than you fathers like myself to follow in. So I appreciate that very much. And hopefully if you're contemplating taking a trip or taking your kid on a trip or something, that I'd be glad to share more about our experiences for I'd encourage you to do it.
Addie, anything else?
I'm always open to talk about missions. Anything. I'm always open to listen. I'm always open to talk. So
Katie, anything else you want to add?
I think just if you've thought about going on a trip globally, nationally, whatever, pray about it and just take that leap and do it. You won't regret it.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you guys for joining us. And thank each of you for listening in. I would ask that you would like and subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform. And leave a comment so we know that you like what we're talking about. But again, thank you for joining us. Go find somebody to love. Let's be missional. Let's love God and let's love others. Thanks for joining.